Dr. Lee spoke very well about Korea's view of middle power as being a topic for tomorrow. But for Australia, it's a topic of history. The Australian Institute of International Affairs has been going 91 years now, and I could guarantee you that in every one of those 91 years, we've had some event or some publication that mentioned the words middle power. Carl Ungerer talks about it as, you know, one of the constants, however contested, of Australian foreign policy. And I really want to thank Caitlin for that excellent discussion of, you know, the debates that we've had around what a middle power means for so many years. That said, I'm very happy to join with Caitlin in sidestepping the middle power definitional trap and just leaving the term aside, certainly with the current government preferring terminology like top 20 nation. You're not going to see or hear those words middle power from us as much, though it's still there. Though for what it's worth, I'm being mischievous. I think you could also play with like-mindedness. I can imagine talking about like-mindedhood and like-mindedship and deciding whether it's volition or not, whether we can decide to be like-minded or whether we just are. So there it is. So what I'm going to discuss is two specific questions. I'm going to look at MICTA as a grouping, and then I'm going to look at as a vehicle for some of the things it could do, responding very much to your comments, Michael. So my first is around MICTA as a grouping and the commonality in it. And my argument is going to be that it has a lot of commonalities compared, for example, to the BRICS. Now, this is one of my favourite party games, and it shows I'm not nearly as nice as I look. I like asking my comparators from BRICS countries to explain to me what it is that the BRICS have in common. So they can tell me they're all big economies, South Africa. They can tell me that they're all non-Western. That's news to Brazil. My personal favourite is the Indian colleague who assured me that the BRICS were anti-colonial, which is news to Russians near abroad, but we can leave that. For what it's worth, I think the BRICS are really a bargaining coalition. They have very specific aims. One of the main ones was IMF quota reform, which they've been pushing hard in a range of international fora and trying to get through. Beyond that, I'm not sure it's very easy to find that many commonalities or not, but I'm interested to open that as a provocation. By contrast, I would say that there are genuine similarities between the MICTA countries. Now, the MICTA leaders themselves have come up with a list, some of which are a little self-serving. So open economies who have the potential for rapid economic growth, who have populations with growing purchasing power, focusing on free trade, some of the things that, for example, Ambassador Kim talked about, shared values, human rights, democracy, countries that are active actors who wish to contribute to global peace and security, those things are definitely there. Now, that's not to say there are not differences. There clearly are differences among the countries in terms of regional focus. Some are more internationally focused, some are more domestically focused. So if you look at a country like Mexico, it has a number of domestic issues, which are, you know, real focus for it at the moment. Some focus closer or further from home. And so in the case of Korea, I think there's a danger that you essentially are always being dragged back to your near region from the international issues that you'd like to be contributing to because, as we've discussed, you have a difficult neighbour. There's also some issues around sense of self. So Indonesia, for example, doesn't really like using middle power as a concept. They see themselves as a big power. Negara besar, you know, not as a middle power. And Turkey tends to refer seeing itself as a bridge power. So there are some differences. But my argument is there are a lot of commonalities. And MICTA works best if you focus on the commonalities, on the like-mindedness of those countries, and focus on that rather than differences. So my second point is MICTA is a vehicle. And really it's a question. It's a great vehicle, but what's it a vehicle for? Okay. And this is a general issue in international affairs. It's not enough to have a wonderfully logical forum. You also have to have a job for this forum to do. So if you look at something like the East Asia Summit, which you haven't mentioned much when we talked about multilateralism in the region, fantastic membership. We've got everyone we need. We've got the ASEANs +3, +3, plus US and Russia. Everyone's there. Does it do anything yet? No, not really. It's a few set pieces. But it's there if we need it, I suppose, is the argument. My question for MICTA is, it's got government support. It's got a lot of momentum behind it. If you look at the number of ministerial meetings that have happened and the institutional ballast that it's starting to get, it's got real momentum moving forward. But at this point, what is it for? Now, if you look at the communiques, there's a list, basically a shopping list, of the things that we could cooperate on. And so, Dr. Lee, you put many of them up there. So, you know, the post-2015 development agenda, food security, cyberspace, climate change, international organisation reform, human rights and migration, energy markets, open economic policies and trade. All clearly good things, we can say that. But which are the ones we're going to take by the horns and actually turn into real initiatives? What are we going to work together on in a practical way? So my question to this forum for a second track dialogue is to think about which are the areas where we think we can have most impact together. What should we be suggesting to our respective governments are the areas that we should be focusing MICTA's time and energy on? We know it's happening, we know there are going to be more meetings, but what are the initiatives we want to come from it? And I think particularly with Korea hosting the next ministers' meeting and the first senior officials' meeting in February, that is something we can usefully add to discussion. The context for a lot of this is what I see as the overall failure of multilateralism. If you look at how badly the multilateral system is doing on the range of global issues that we have to deal with, that spawned what you could see, if you don't mind the terminology, as a middle power moment, a moment where constructive actors can help transform the international system because there's a window open for them to try to play some sort of constructive role. Perhaps not systemically, but on various niche areas, there is a window open, and that's something that we should be working on. So my challenge to us in the remainder of the discussion is to think about how to use that window, how to use this vehicle, which has good commonality of powers and like-mindedness, to achieve something concrete. Thank you.